Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Well, dude, it's several days later. You're fresh off your trip across the Atlantic. And I must admit, I feel worse. I feel worse.
You feel worse.
I feel worse than we did after we recorded after the Game 7 debacle. I feel worse, dude. How do you feel?
The epic collapse, you feel worse.
I feel worse, and I feel angrier now than I did that night, which I'm surprised that's how I feel, but I haven't been able to, I mean, for a hockey fan, I have not watched a moment of the second round.
Me either. I haven't been able to.
Dude, you've been out of the country.
I've been out of the country, but I mean, I've been looking at the scores and reading a little bit, but I can't. Tonight, Game 7, Pittsburgh Rangers, didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I just can't. I think I'm going to be back to watch the Stanley Cup Finals. I think I'll be able to watch
it. It depends on who's in it. If you don't have a horse in the race, you won't watch it.
I will watch.
But it looks like you might. Like, you're in pretty good shape. We'll get to that at the end, I guess. But well, we've heard a lot from the listeners. We have some tweets. We have some emails to cover. I'm not sure where you want to start, dude, but...
Well, dude, let me ask you a question. So you say you feel worse now than you did 2 weeks ago. Is that because of the news that's come out since then? Or is that the news that has come out since the loss has no effect on your current feeling?
Well, let me put it to you this way. What news, dude? There's been no news. There's been nothing except for the day after it all went down. Doug Wilson comes out and says that he's 100% behind the coaching staff.
Right.
That's the only news. There's no news from our owner, no statement from the owner, and no further statements from the team. No injury report, no nothing. As far as I can tell, I haven't seen an injury report.
Not an official one.
I've heard some people discuss other players and their physical state of being during the round, and I get it. They didn't want to use that as an excuse. And I don't think that it would have been an excuse.
No one would have bought that.
I'm frustrated by just the general lack for a team that lacked emotion, their response to losing the worst game in Sharks history has lacked emotion.
Yeah, it's emotionless. And not only lacked.
And I'm frustrated by it. I'm frustrated by it. So, I don't know. Has hindsight changed your opinion based on... I went back and listened to our podcast.
Yeah.
And I was laughing a lot, actually. And especially at the tweets from the listeners. There was some great, burn it to the ground. Yeah. That was my favorite one.
Yeah.
But we were very opinionated in terms of what needs to happen, at least from the top down. We didn't get too into specifics in terms of who, in terms of players we identified that maybe should go. But we both were solid that Todd McClellan needed to go because we didn't feel like there would be any significant changes to the roster.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Not good.
Why?
Well, because he's coming back. I don't understand what is going to be different. It's very difficult for me to understand. How is this going to change? How is this going to be in any way different next year than it is right now?
Not right now. Nothing. Right now, there's nothing that's going to be different. I mean, but from what we're being told, the only person who seems to still be writing about this is Mark Purdy, and God bless him. You know what I mean? Like, he's still covering this. And he wrote actually a really great article today that's quite amusing, and maybe we'll link to it in the post, where he wrote something like, you know, and after an emotional loss, we've heard from the owner, and here it is. And it's like blank.
It's like insert silence here. Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen, you know, in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors went to game 7 against a really good team in the Clippers. They lost. And the next day they fired their coach after one of the best seasons that team has had in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They fired their coach.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like they need to do better. I'm not saying that that's the right move, because I don't even know what the right move is with the Sharks.
We said that too. We, dude, are you backing down?
No,
we said,
I'm not
backing
down.
We said 2 weeks ago that was the right
move.
You're backing down.
I know, dude. I'm not confident that they're going to change the roster or be able to.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, you have to change something.
Right. No, I agree. You're just like, oh, let's just plot the same guys out there. Okay.
But from what Mark Purdy is reporting is that in NHL circles, it is known mm-hmm. that Doug Wilson and Tom McClellan are coming back. Mm-hmm. And I think the facts bear that out. Randy Carlyle given an extension in Toronto. Peter Laviolette signing with Nashville. I mean, these are dominoes that would have played out differently if Tom McClellan was going to be fired.
Right.
Because if he was going to be fired, then Randy Carlyle would have been fired. Mm-hmm. And the Leafs would have pushed for T-Mac.
I think that's true.
And Laviolette would probably be sitting there waiting for Hasso Plattner to call him.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Because the best job opening would have been the Sharks.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
So
not Nashville.
That's definitely true. So I think you're right. I don't think I think certainly we're not going to see a change at the coach at this point.
Right.
That's gone. So
we have to move past that. I'm not backtracking, dude, because I still think that needed to happen. If you listen to Drew Remenda on KNBR, he says that after the first game, T-Mac was telling the guys, don't get mesmerized by the score. This isn't going to happen every night
mm-hmm.
against this team. Don't. And what happened? They did.
Right.
And they blew it. And that before game 7, Jay Woodcroft's putting up on the board, shoot first, shoot on the power play. Make sure you shoot.
Nobody shoot.
They didn't.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? The players aren't listening to the coaches.
I know.
So that's a problem.
I know.
So it doesn't matter if he's good or not. They don't listen to him.
So is that I guess, wasn't the conclusion that Drew Amanda drew? Pardon the pun.
The conclusion that Drew seemed to have was that now, right after the game, he made me crazy because he was sort of just being on the fence.
Right.
He put it on the guys. He put it on the players. And it seems like Doug Wilson's now putting it on the players. And so if we're reading the tea leaves, dude, the players will be changed. But how much do you believe that?
I believe that changes will be made, okay?
But will changes that matter be made? Because the changes that matter are the changes that he's been reluctant to make
mm-hmm.
for the last 6 years that this has been going on, where the team has underperformed and underachieved at key moments. I think we can always go back and circle some of the same names.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
and they're guys that we love and they're fan favorites.
Yes. No, I agree with you. And of course you're talking about Marlowe and Thornton.
Yes.
Basically you're talking about Marlowe and Thornton.
And I think there are some other guys to add to that list that maybe aren't the pillars of the team.
Such as
Brent Burns.
Yeah. That's the
He's a major problem right now.
That's a name that's come up quite a bit.
And I think that you have to put a minus on Doug Wilson on Brent Burns, and you have to put a minus on Tom McClellan on Brent Burns, and you have to put a minus on Brent Burns on Brent Burns.
Yeah.
They're all responsible for him not performing. You trade for a top puck-moving physical defenseman who, when you get him to your team and you sign him to an extension before he's even played a moment... mm-hmm. in Tom McClellan's system, he's not good as a defenseman in year one. Mm-hmm. Agreed?
Yeah.
He wasn't terrible, but he wasn't the guy he was in Minnesota.
Right.
So they decide to move him to forward where he's been hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
So that's everybody's fault.
Yeah, I agree. That's a serious problem for this team. And I've been reading the Kevin Kurz, recaps, and he says basically, and I know we've got a couple tweets about it, and we may have gotten an email about it, and people are like, Burns back to D, and Kurz says, forget about it. That's not happening.
And
Burz is a forward. He's a forward now for the Sharks. He's not moving back to D. Just forget about that part of it.
And I've heard people say in a very veiled way, and of course, we have no knowledge of anything.
Right.
You just read between the lines. And I feel what the lines are saying is that Tom McClellan's system on defense is complicated and Burns isn't smart enough to handle it. And that's what I feel like they've been saying.
He's a big dummy.
Well,
did you read Artie Lang's book where he talks about how Joe Montana's a big dummy, by the way, which is really funny.
Well, I don't know, dude. Dude, you go back and listen to Drew on KNBR and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
That is what he basically said, something like, well, he doesn't really understand the system and isn't able to really grasp McClellan's defense. What? He can't what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So that's a failure on all three.
Right.
You traded for a player who doesn't fit the coach's system, so you had to move him, and now you've got a guy playing out of position.
Mm-hmm. And not that great at it.
And his value is decreased, because now what is he? To any other team, what right. do they look at him as? Who is he? Like, I mean, it's an issue.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest... You asked me if they're going to make these changes, and... Or are they going to make these wholesale changes? I'm worried about two things. One is they're going to make these cosmetic changes around the periphery that have no effect, right? Okay, so they buy out Martin Havlat. Whee! who cares?
Well, that's a foregone conclusion,
yeah,
right? That's happening.
But yeah, so, and they don't bring back Scott Hannon. Okay, so they make some changes. It's not really going to affect significantly how this team plays, okay? So that's one worry. The other worry is that they do make wholesale changes, like, say, move Brent Burns, and they get absolutely shafted by whoever takes them off our hands. And then the Sharks are, lessened by the fact that they didn't get enough.
Right.
Or they trade somebody like Joe Pavelski, which is somebody that
No, absolutely not. If they do that,
I'd be so mad.
That is, he bears so much limited blame.
Right.
How can you put this, if you're going to do that, then if the name Shea Weber isn't coming back the other way.
Which is not happening.
Well, you know what I mean, dude? Like, yeah. So you're going to make Joe Pavelski, the guy who you moved from third line center up to the top line and had a career year, and then you moved him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth through every playoff game. You didn't let him settle into a role.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy who you're going to say, you know what? We failed and it's on you.
Right.
That's a bunch of crap.
It is a bunch of crap, but sometimes you make the move that you're able to make. Just like, the Warriors ditch the coach because it's easier to fire one guy than it is to fire 12 guys.
Well, I think the Warriors situation is a little different because that sounded like a wildly dysfunctional mess behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's
true. And the players... You look at this and you go, why did Doug Wilson give Thornton and Marlowe extensions in the middle of the year? That appears to be a horrible mistake.
Yes, it does.
Because you've taken the carrot away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen what Patrick Marlowe can do in a contract year.
Yeah, we have.
He's had record goal scoring numbers. We've seen Joe Thornton suck in a contract year.
Yeah.
But you took the drive completely away from them in terms of that. And I don't know. Now you're stuck. It didn't work. And now you've got them. We don't know what if they have any sort of clause mm-hmm. in their no trade. And we don't know that information.
And Kurz or Purdy or somebody referred to that, and they said, oh, we didn't know that Danny Heatley or somebody had
right.
some sort of limited tradability, and maybe these guys do have some limited tradability, and maybe those are the kinds of moves that Doug Wilson is exploring at this point. I have no idea. All I know is that if Thornton and Marlowe and the core of the team is completely unchanged at the beginning of next season, I'm going to be extraordinarily disappointed because I don't, it's going to be almost impossible for me to have any optimism whatsoever.
I can't see how they could present that to the fans. I can't see that, how could they possibly do that? I mean, if you're going to roll back with McClellan and say, this guy is essentially blameless for the failure
mm-hmm.
this year. So then you're saying the players effed up and apparently didn't listen.
Right.
So the guy who I have decided in my infinite wisdom has to go is Jumbo.
Yeah.
It's gotta be Jumbo, dude. Because you can't, people are talking about taking the captaincy away from him. You cannot do that a second time with the same group.
And plus, I know people have been commenting on the blog about this, and having this discussion in the blog comments. And I agree with the people who say that it's the significance of that is overblown. I think it matters to the fans. It matters somewhat in the room. But, like they say, Patty's still a leader in the locker room.
Sure.
You take the C off Jumbo and you give it to somebody else. Who cares? You give it to Couture. You give it to Pavs.
You think that doesn't matter?
I think it matters. I think it matters some, but I don't think it matters as much as we think it does. I think it's a PR move more than anything
okay,
else.
Okay, well, then taking the C away from him changes nothing then.
That's
okay.
I think it's closer to changing nothing than changing a lot. Let's put it that
and
way.
It could only make it worse. Because now you've got a guy who maybe is still a leader on the team
mm-hmm.
who's not wearing the C, and he could only feel negative about it
right.
and not positive. And we've never heard or known Joe to be a negative guy. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think that's part of his persona. But this, shirtless captain who is fun-loving
yeah.
and seems to always have a smile on his face and is beloved by the fans and is an amazing hockey player and by all accounts a great dude. That personality for this team, which the team does seem to have Joe's personality,
mm-hmm.
isn't working.
Yeah, I don't see how you can possibly dispute it.
And I don't think you can change that unless you move that personality out. And what better message to the rest of the team than
right.
to make that change? Because every other change has apparently gone unnoticed. Right?
That's true. No one
if
cares.
You trade Joe, everybody in that room is going to notice that he's gone.
Yeah. I know. And that's going to hurt. And it's going to be painful for a lot of fans and for everybody else. But otherwise, we have this slow and inevitable decline that we're just going to witness for a while. That just seems ludicrous.
Can you make a case for trading Patty instead of Joe?
Sure.
Yeah. What's the case, dude?
Well, the case is that, he disappeared in the playoffs as well, and Thornton can make other players better, and maybe we can't make Thornton shoot, but he still puts a lot of points up, and he can still... him and Pavelski seem to be a pretty good pairing. And I wouldn't necessarily say that the Marlowe and Couture pairing was nearly as potent. And Couture clearly isn't going anywhere. So why don't we give somebody else a chance to play on Couture's wing and see if we can find another dynamite pair there. That would be my case for trading Patrick Marlowe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to argue with your points, dude. Can you make a case for moving them both? Just like Philly did. They move out Richards, they move out Carter, and the team that gets them wins the cup. Can you make a case?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I mean, if they really want to dramatically change the personality of this team, you move them both.
Yes, you move them both.
That would be shocking. I mean, if that happened.
Because it would be such a reversal from what we saw during the regular season. I mean, if there was really a chance that those guys were going to get shipped, then there's absolutely no reason to sign them to contracts that have at least limited no movement clauses in them, as reported. Why would you do that and then tie your hands?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think he... I mean, he clearly drank the Kool-Aid as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he thought... He never saw this coming. Doug Wilson never saw this coming. And
we know, basically we know Boyle is gone, which hurts every time I say it. And
you know what, dude? I'm sad, but part of me wants him to be liberated.
Seriously.
I hope he ends up on a great team and has another shot at winning a cup, because this team as constructed
will not have
that shot.
He doesn't have that shot.
No. So I wish him all the best, you know?
Yeah.
I hope he signs with the team that we can feel in our hearts the ability to root for.
I hope it's in the East, so we can root for an Eastern team and not have to root against the Sharks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a team in Pittsburgh that might be making some pretty big changes.
Yeah.
And that's another... And let's talk about this. I mean, the silence on the Sharks' end... Do you think that might have anything to do with waiting to see what's going to happen with some of these other teams? Bylsma is going to get the curb, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, Bylsma is going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not going to... He will be hired by another team very quickly.
Yes.
Could the Sharks be waiting to see what's going to happen there?
I suppose that's possible. I suppose that's possible. But I think people in the league are fairly well connected. And I think your point... is very good with LaViolette and other teams being interested in McClellan and all these kinds of things. And I don't think those moves would have happened if people thought T-Mac would be available. And so I don't think T-Mac will be available.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why they would say that and know that Pittsburgh's not out of the woods yet and then fire him 2 weeks later. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. That does not seem to be the way Doug Wilson rolls. On something like that. You know, he basically... Okay, so here's the only thing that's really going to cause changes in the Sharks organization for next year. And I mean, this is... For me, this is brass tacks. Is if Hasso Plattner decides to fire Doug Wilson. And then the new GM brings in a new coach. And then that's how changes are made. Short of that, I don't see anything major happening.
You do not think that Doug Wilson will trade Joe Thornton or Patrick Marleau?
No, I don't.
Well, then we're all just spinning wheels then.
That's
and
how
nothing
I
will change that.
I hope I'm wrong. I honestly do. I hope I'm wrong. But I think, you know, we've watched this guy operate as Sharks GM for a lot of years now. And I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think he's going to go try and trade those guys. One, because I think those guys are going to be hard to trade, for one. Two, I think it's going to be a hard pill to swallow because teams know they have him over a barrel. And they're like, okay, well... We'll give you a second round pick for Joe Thornton. No joke.
Yeah.
I mean, what did they get for not Varlamov, the other goalie for a Halak, third round pick.
All right, that's at the deadline. I think sometimes the trades at the draft reap a better. I think you could find a team that somehow would be willing to give you. Some value, but you're right. I mean, the Sharks would not be dealing from a position of strength. This would be the opposite end of the equation that the Sharks are usually on, where they're usually taking advantage of somebody.
Montreal's like, I'll give you Douglas Murray back.
Right.
Yeah,
they would be in a difficult spot. I think they'd be in that spot with Brent Burns too. Like the Sharks are going to be on the opposite end of this equation now.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is why I think they may just hold the cards that they've been dealt.
Oh, God, dude. Well, then that's going to be difficult to get up and watch. I mean, I will be so wildly disappointed if that's what the conclusion is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just stay the course. That's not what they've said. I mean, they have said that there will be major changes. And that's what Purdy wrote today, that there have been reports that the Sharks have agreed on major roster changes.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Boyle coming back is not a major roster change because that's a foregone conclusion. Havlat being bought out, not a major roster change.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Thornton or Patrick Marleau being traded, that's a major roster change.
Yeah, yeah. All right, dude, let's go to some tweets. People, you tweeted out earlier today, we're recording tonight, and people have lots of ideas. And we have some really interesting ideas, including switching to horse-drawn Zambonis, which is interesting. Jason actually had a lot of good ideas. Switch to rollerblades. Make every player wear number 99.
I like trade for that player from the Kings.
Okay. You know, Doug Wilson has to go. Todd has offers. He's a good coach. Doug Wilson gave him a fancy but weak team. Culture must change for success.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, that's where I go back to those contract extensions. I go back to the trade for Tyler Kennedy, which has been just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it seems like there's a disconnect. I mean, Wilson's going out and getting players that T-Mac apparently has no interest in using.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, there seems to be a bit of a lack of communication there.
Oh, Tyler Kennedy, he's going to be great. I don't want to play him. I will not. I will play Mike Brown.
Oh, man.
At first, I was kind of numb. I'm getting more pissed off as time goes by. I agree.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Especially since there hasn't been any indication that, you know, I mean, I guess if I had to summarize, it doesn't appear at this point that the team even acknowledges that there is a problem.
Well, I
would you agree with that?
Well, no. No.
Based on what they've done.
Well, I think that they acknowledged the day after that there is a problem, and they said that it's not the coaching staff. And Doug Wilson basically said he's going to be meeting with the owner after a period of time and make his recommendation, which is to keep the coaching staff, and then it's on Plotner. And then if Plotner says okay, then make changes to the team. They're putting it on the players. So that's the lot they're going to cast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that's wrong. I mean, it sounds like, you know,
it's so
hearing
much
the stories about how the coaches are like, do this. And the Sharks players are like, no. I mean, they didn't say that, but that's essentially what they're doing. Drew is really hard on Joe.
Yeah.
And talking about how he's being more selfish by not shooting.
Right.
Than playing how he is by distributing the puck. He's being selfish. He's hurting the team. And that if he would shoot more, then he could have easily. So he'd have easily 20, 25 goals. Easily.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We've been saying this for a while.
So if you've got a guy like that who refuses to change, listen, the coaches are telling him shoot more. Everyone's telling him shoot more. And he basically is like, nope. Then you got to go.
Yeah, then get out.
You got to go. Like, you won't.
Hit the bricks. Yeah.
It's got to stop. Like, stop the madness, dude.
Seriously. Susan Powder. Remember that? Oh, man.
More tweets.
Actually, the Sharks should get a point each time Drew says, keep your head on a swivel. Oh, wait, that's the drinking game. I wish I was drinking now. Let's go to the emails here.
Okay.
So you buy out Havlat, now what is the title of this email. Look at the right wings available as UFAs. What do you see? A bunch of bupkis. Which one of these guys would you rather have as a Shark? Jerome Iginla, Daniel Alfredson, Alex Hemsky, Ryan Callahan. You know?
And then
he says, if you put Burns back at D, you got two right winger spots. Well, okay, so Burns is not going back to D. We know that. So we don't have two right wing spots, but we got at least one. Who do you want, dude, out of those four?
It's easy. I want Ryan Callahan.
Yeah.
Because I think he changes the culture of the team the most. I mean, I like Aginla. If Aginla decides to play another year, I don't know why he would leave Boston.
Right.
Alfredson was kind of a hot mess this year. And you're right. I can't imagine him wanting to be in San Jose. Alex Hemske, avoid, avoid, avoid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's exactly the type of guy that you're trying to get rid of. I mean, like,
like, you give him some darker eyebrows if he's Patrick Marleau.
The problem here is Ryan Callahan was traded for the Rangers because he's asking for a ridiculous amount of money for the kind of player that he is, which is a guy who, if he scores in the low 20 goals, he's having a good year. Mm-hmm. He's a character guy. He's a second, third line forward, right? He's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
He does all the intangibles. But the Sharks are never going to be the top bid.
Oh, yeah.
And they never are. And they're not going to fix this team through free agency.
Yeah.
It won't happen.
Yeah.
I read again from Kurz in, I think it was in his chat, that his understanding that until Tampa Bay entered the picture, the deal for Callahan to the Sharks was done. He was coming.
Wow.
And the St. Louis trade trumped it.
Yeah.
And who knows who was in that deal.
Yeah.
But it was close. Yeah. I mean, like, it apparently very close. So, and Callahan's got to know that.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe he was interested in coming. Maybe he would come. But are the Sharks going to pay 6 years, $42 million to... Or 7 years, $42 million to Callahan?
I don't think so.
Doubtful. Doubtful, dude.
Patrick thinks that the Sharks got jinxed because Hasso Plattner was in the house after the third game 3 win, shaking hands with players in the winning locker room. For a team that's accused of lacking the proverbial killer instinct, shouldn't the organization-wide attitude have been, we haven't accomplished anything yet? Besides being a massive jinx, I hated the fact that from the highest possible level of the organization, the players were getting the Bush on the aircraft carrier mission accomplished line. I find that difficult. I don't think that the owner shaking hands in the locker room means anything, but
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, at this point, you look at everything, right?
When they're all saying to the media, we're not done. This isn't over. We've got to win another game. If they're... you know, popping Coors Lights and the owners down there congratulating them on accomplishing nothing yet.
Yeah.
Is that sending the right message? I mean, that's a good point.
It's a good point. Dude, Patrick has an idea. What are your thoughts on bringing ice girls or cheerleaders into the arena? Things are pretty bleak. I know ice girls would cheer me up.
Yes.
Yes, that's a question. Or yes, you agree.
Yes.
Yes, you're sidestepping that. Okay, got it. Alex says the Sharks will make any changes and they will still sell out. If after the initial season ticket release the numbers are not there, here's the change I predict. They will sign Owen Nolan to the back office adjacent to Ricci. They might have to share a washroom. I think there needs to be a management change. Yeah, a couple of people asked about like season tickets and this sort of thing. I think somebody tweeted, do you think the tank will still be selling out next season? Where is the breaking point?
Let me ask you, as a season ticket holder, dude, where are you with renewing your tickets?
We're going to renew. I'm renewing. So I'm certainly not as excited about it now as I would have been if the
Sharks... How are you going to feel if your prediction comes true and nothing changes? And is this the last year? What if they change nothing and the result is the same? Will you go back again? Yes.
Probably. Because I'm an idiot. I mean, I know we've said this before a long time ago, maybe years ago on the podcast. And my general philosophy is the same, is that you know, disagreeing with, you know, roster moves or players playing in positions or who the coach is or who the GM is, you know, these are all natural things for fans to quibble about and vehemently disagree about. The point at which I stop either buying tickets or being a fan of the Sharks is when I honestly believe that the Sharks are no longer particularly interested in winning games. Now, I may vehemently disagree, you know, full-throatedly disagree with the course they take if they decide not to make any major changes in the summer. I think that's a really stupid move. But I don't think it's because they're making those moves because they just stop caring about winning. I just think it's the wrong decision, you know. But they're still going to be spending money. They're still going to be trying to get good players. They're still going to be trying to make the playoffs. They're not just going to be throwing in the towel. And so for that reason, I'm not going to give up my tickets. If all of a sudden they pull like a Donald Sterling and they just say, you know, before the phone call and you know, with the Clippers and just say, yeah, I'll just get some kind of crappy-ish players, but I'll try to sell some tickets and make some money and the team's never going to be competitive, but I don't really care. If the Sharks turn into that team, then yeah, I'm gone. I'm not going to buy tickets then in that situation.
But what if they decide to start over? Which we, the last podcast, both said we'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
You said trade everything that's not nailed down, dude. Was
I did
what you say.
I did say that.
So what if they did that?
Yeah.
They got rid of everything.
Then I'd be in. I'm in.
Still be in?
Absolutely, because they're trying to
Bracken
win.
Bracken Currents on the first line.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Load it up with a bunch of top picks.
Listen, Sharks fans bought tickets in the years where the Sharks didn't make the playoffs.
Sure.
They bought tickets in the years where, you know, Al Simms was the coach, you know?
Right.
Jim Fahey was man on the blue line. I mean, you know, teams see dark days. And if people, I mean, honestly, I don't have a huge amount of patience for people that say, oh, well, this team has to be like highly competitive, Stanley Cup final threat, or else I'm not going to buy tickets. Well, to me, that's exactly the definition of a fair weather fan. That's precisely what that is.
I
only care about the Sharks when they're good, and when they're not good, I'm not going to pay attention, and I'm not going to care. No, you go through the ups and downs. It's part of being a fan. I agree there's certain irrationality associated with it. Well, you know, the psychology of it's for a different podcast, but, you know, I think the team's trying to win still. I honestly do. So I'm going to go to games. That's just how I see it. And I understand if other people are really pissed off and they're like, if you're not going to change the coach, you're not going to change Jumbo and Patty, then I'm not buying tickets. Everybody's, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion and their view on what means they should buy tickets or not. But, you know, for me, I'm still in.
If they don't change anything, I do believe that they think they're still trying to win. But a person outside the funny farm would tell them they're not.
Right.
You know, and I think that's where I'm going to have a problem. I'm going to have a real serious problem with ownership and with management if they don't make serious changes to this team.
Mm-hmm.
And the only serious changes that make any sense are one of the two mainstays. One of them needs to go to get the attention of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't happen, I mean, if you trade Joe Pavelski for Evander Kane,
yeah,
and a first round pick, you've done nothing. I mean, I yeah, feel like you've done nothing. You've changed nothing. What is that going to do?
I don't know.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Now, if you trade Joe Pavelski for Shea Weber, now you've done something.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. No. I mean, Peter Laviolette didn't go to Nashville to lose Shea Weber.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I think that has been established, but
to answer the question, I do actually think, especially if they don't make any changes, the Sharks tickets sales will see a pretty significant hit. I mean, I think people will be fed up. I mean, you know, tickets are expensive.
We've seen it already, dude. I mean, you could buy a ticket to Game 7 hours before the game. There were tickets on sale. People didn't want to go to the funeral.
Right.
And
I honestly, it's not an exactly proud moment in the history of my Sharks fandom, but I'll be completely honest and forthcoming here. I seriously considered selling Game 7 ticket. I was that sure the Sharks were going to lose. My friend, we seriously considered selling those tickets.
And you might not have been able to sell them, which would have been the even more shocking part to you.
That's true.
Is that, you know, there were tickets on Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Blocks of tickets available the day of. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that tells you a lot in terms of where people were
It clearly,
and where
clearly
they are.
The fan base doesn't have a whole lot of confidence right now in this team at all.
Why would you?
Why would you?
Why would you?
And
have
with very
confidence?
Good reason, absolutely.
So, one person we haven't talked about yet is the goalie, Antti Niemi. Where are you with Niemi in this moment? And if you're the GM, what do you do with him?
I'm trying. I'm going to go to Cap Geek right now because I don't know exactly how many years he's got left, and I know he's not that expensive. So, let me just have a quick look here. So Niemi's got only 2013.
1 year left.
He's only got 1 year left at 3.6. To me, there's no question you sign Alex Stalock. I don't even understand why that would be something someone would discuss. Alex Stalock needs to be retained, period, full stop. I don't care what else happens on this team actually at all, frankly. In terms of all of the UFAs and RFAs, there is no question in my mind that Alex Stalock is the number one priority of all these players. And I don't think it's close, frankly. So you sign Alex Stalock. And then you do what we've seen other teams do, which is, namely the Ducks, for one, which is you play the damn best goalie you got. I don't care if it's a rookie from the AHL named Gibson or whoever. You know, you play the best goalie. This whole, like, oh, he makes more money, he's our number one guy, so you got to play him. I'm tired of that. I'm really, really tired of that. And that's one of the things I'm really not looking forward to next year with the same coaching staff, is because they seem to buy into this sort of, like, you know, fragile psyche theory of goalies, which, you know, this is, it's a hard business. It's a hard game. I'm sorry. You know, they bench players when they suck. Why can't they bench goalies when they suck? I think Alex Stalock has at least deserved, maybe he hasn't deserved the starting job out of the gate, but I think if Niemi struggles and they put in Stalock and Stalock plays better, then you just keep playing him. I think he becomes the number one goalie at that point. I think you give Alex Stalock every opportunity to win that job. And then if that means you don't retain Niemi after next year, then that's exactly what it means. And that's precisely what the Sharks should be doing next year. And if you want to jumpstart that process and get rid of Niemi this offseason and sign Stalock and play him, I agree that's a riskier move. But I wouldn't necessarily be against that either. But I don't think that has as many repercussions throughout the team the way that Thornton and Patty do. If you retain those two guys and you ditch Niemi, I don't see how that changes the culture of the team, whatever that, you know, means. I think that's the same. You know, I don't think that's considered a major change, getting rid of the goalie.
Let me ask you two questions. What do you think Niemi's value right now is around the league, trade value?
Roughly what Halak is, probably not that. What did Halak get? Third round.
So third or fourth round pick?
You get a mid round pick for him, maybe. That's probably what you get. So yeah. It's not a lot. 3.8 is not an insane amount of money to pay for a goalie. There's a lot of goalies out there making a lot more that are not as good.
Well, there's gonna be a very interesting goalie market. It might be the most interesting thing to watch. I mean, is Ryan Miller gonna be unrestricted if he doesn't sign with St. Louis before the deadline? Jonas Hiller's value has gone completely in the toilet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy, you know, went from staring at a $7 million a year kind of deal earlier in the year to God knows what.
If he'll even be, you know, on a team.
I mean, he got flushed, basically, by the Ducks. Halak is unrestricted. His rights got traded to the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, of course, I'm sure he will not sign there.
Shocking.
Although he would have the job, I mean, and would be left alone, you know, to toil in obscurity. So, I mean, the Sharks could wait and see who strikes out in the goalie market and attempt to move Niemi to one of those teams. But I think he is... I think he's almost untradeable. I think 3.8 is a lot for a guy who, while he had a lot of wins this year, there are a lot of questions about his game.
I agree with you. And I'm getting a feeling, and maybe that's maybe it's just confirmation bias and I'm just buying into the fact that I think it's true. I think teams are sort of getting wise to the fact that, you know, there's been some analytics study of goalies in the past couple of years, and people have made the point, and I think it's a persuasive one, that there really isn't a whole lot of difference between goalies that are great and goalies that are mediocre. And a lot of times these goalies, they do great one year and they don't do so great the next year. So why would you pay $7 million for a goalie when you can get a guy who maybe isn't a top three goalie? He's not Tuukka Rask and he's not Lundqvist. But once you get past the top three or four guys, it's all kind of a wash. Why would you pay $4 million or $5 million for one of those guys when you can have an Alex Stalock? Or you can have a Ben Bishop that comes out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, maybe, you know, teams aren't that into that kind of stuff so anymore.
Let's part two. My question is, let's assume somehow they are able to move Niemi to a team that, you know, I mean, maybe a team like Calgary would look at him and go, for a year, we've got a ton of cap space.
Mm-hmm.
What's the harm?
Right.
You know,
sure.
A team like that, that has no real goalie contender. You know, we're looking at their roster, Kari Ramo and Joey McDonald. I mean, I don't know what they have in the minors, but, you know, maybe with all the cap space they have, maybe they do take just they give up a fourth or a fifth, take Niemi off our hands and they roll the dice, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
That would have to be the kind of situation that the Sharks are in. I don't even know who else is in that situation, dude. Let's look at the list of teams. I mean, who else has a goalie question? Carolina? I mean, maybe Winnipeg, but they've got their own problems. I mean, they've got their goalie locked up to a stupid, you know, deal.
Yeah.
Their goalie is signed for three more years at 3.9.
Right.
So
would you rather have Pavlik than Niemi?
No.
No, not me either. I wouldn't take that swap.
No, no way. I mean, and that's not no, and you don't want Pavlik for three more years, and you
certainly
look around
not.
And you go, I mean, Carolina, maybe. I mean, they might be looking to move Cam Ward. That's not someone you want to take on if you're the Sharks. Vancouver, maybe. I mean, like,
sure,
maybe. I mean, are they all in with Eddie Lack?
I don't see how they could be.
Maybe they are, but we don't know who the new GM of that team is.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Well, they got Markstrom from Florida, right? So that's
right.
That's,
I mean, but that guy's done jack.
Yeah.
You know, Buffalo's goalie situation is a little unknown, to say the least. I mean, you've got Neuwirth, Enstrom. I mean, like, they've got a bunch of, what a mess. I mean, you might be able to move him to one of these teams and just and take what you get for him. So then let's assume that that happens. Then are the Sharks in the market for Ryan Miller? Or are you handing the keys to Stalock?
I see, because of what I just said, no. I hand the keys to Stalock if you're going to make that move. I don't believe you should pay a goalie $6 million or $7 million unless he's an absolute stud. Unless he's a Tuukka Rask or he's a Henrik Lundqvist. And I don't think Ryan Miller falls into that category anymore. Maybe he did once, but he's had some not very good years recently.
So on the angry Rafi Torres eye bugging, with a zero being not bugged and a 10 being bulged all the way out of his head, how bulged will your eyes be if they sign Ryan Miller? Sharks.
Oh, a 9. That would be shocking.
Yeah.
You know, for a million reasons. One, because I don't think they're going to get rid of Niemi. Two, the Sharks don't even sign UFAs. And, like, Ryan Miller would be the number one goalie UFA.
Right. I think that Stalock will be the starter next year. I don't know if Niemi is still going to be here. I think they will try to move him, but they may not. They may decide that it's more prudent to have a proven goalie. I mean, you're talking about you need to have a veteran goalie like on the team to back up Stalock. Well, you have one. Just keep him. And you have him around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What that does to the team, I don't know. But Niemi was, if you look at his stats in the playoffs, they were wretched.
Yeah.
Wretched.
Not good.
Horrible. So.
Dude, a name that's, I want to go to something that could be fun. A name that's been bandied about, Dion Phaneuf. Leafs could be shopping him. We got an email from Paul about it. Jake Gardner, maybe. Paul says not Phaneuf. What do you think about Phaneuf, dude? Well, what was your reaction when someone said, hey, Phaneuf's available? And then you're thinking, you know, losing Boyle, obviously. Hannon's probably not going to be back. What do you do?
I like the idea
yeah.
of Dion Phaneuf. I don't know if I actually like the actual product that you get, which is, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, you get 7 years at $7 million for a guy who has become the poster child for another team's failures, which is Toronto.
It's true.
So you, let's say for fun, you do a straight up swap of Phaneuf and Jumbo for fun. All right.
Okay.
That wouldn't happen. But I mean, you're getting a guy who is the captain of the Maple Leafs, who was criticized constantly all year for the team's failures, for not stepping up and taking leadership when the team was struggling, for, you know, not fighting, for being physical, but being a coward.
Right.
That's the guy you're going to bring in to be the solution? I say no.
Yeah.
I say absolutely not. And
to me, I just hate that contract so much.
The contract is terrible. That's
brutal.
A bad contract. I mean, how old is he? 30?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Older, I think.
So you're going to have him around till he's 37? How old is he? Do we know?
Let me find out if I can. I don't know. I'm looking at his advanced stats.
Dude, I have bad news. The
what?
Blackhawks advance. I have a team
Damn
in the
it.
Vegas pool in the Western Conference Finals. So,
damn it.
Your
All right.
your hopes are on the Ducks, dude. You've got the Rangers. I have both Montreal and Boston. So,
yeah.
I have a team that will be playing you
mm-hmm.
in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you're going to have a hard time looking at these analytic stats and making a case for Phaneuf, because I don't think that he is especially strong in those areas, you know?
It's not great.
Here's a name. If we're spitballing right now.
Okay.
Let me throw out a couple of names since Callahan's name has been out there. I mean, there are other players on that free agent list. You know, Vonick helps not at all. Like, that's not...
No.
Not at all. Not interested. Health is a major issue, but out there will be a real third line center in Dave Boland when he's healthy. One of the best.
Yeah. I'm interested in Dave Boland. Absolutely. I'm certainly interested.
And then you can just leave Pavelski alone and let him play on the top line.
Right.
Leave him alone. Stop moving him around. That's got to be frustrating for him.
Yes.
I mean, you can't be a Swiss Army knife all the time.
Right. And you can't just like play with 87 different players every night.
And I just love spitballing, so let's do it again. The type of guys that I'm looking at to add would be a guy like...
Olli Jokinen.
Well, you're on the right team. A guy like Andrew Ladd.
I do like Andrew Ladd, yeah.
Andrew Ladd.
He's the captain, though.
I know. Well, I'm saying guys that I'd be interested in.
Yeah.
Now, talk about your elephant in the room, but what about Dustin Byfuglien?
I like Dustin Byfuglien, too. I don't know why, but I do.
Well, I mean, he weighs 500 pounds.
Yes.
And we've seen what he can do to the Sharks. Now, his career has kind of tailed off. Talk about another guy whose usefulness, because he's been moved from D to forward, then to D. Would you trade Jumbo and Burns for Byfuglien and Ladd?
Yeah, I would. Because mostly for the addition by subtraction, I think if you can get that kind of value from those guys, then I would do it. I would absolutely do it.
I think I'd do it too. And maybe the listeners might think that that's crazy.
I mean, Byfuglien had 56 points last year.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
He had 20 goals. I mean, it's not bad. I don't know how much he played D and how much he played offense, but, you know, I mean, he's not a total moron. I mean, he can play.
Yeah. I mean, he had
I would take
statistically,
him.
I think, his best year last year.
Yeah, I would play him.
I mean, the Jets are the type of team that's probably looking to make some sort of major change. Now, given, I doubt Joe Thornton will approve a trade to Winnipeg. To the black hole of Earth.
Yeah, let's just say that.
I doubt it. But those are the kinds of things
He'd be reunited with Devin Setoguchi.
Oh, Seto's not there. Oh, yeah. He's UFA.
Well, not, yeah. He I'm might sure be back.
He's not going back. Do you think anyone goes back? He got scratched by them. He's not going back.
Yeah.
I mean, his NHL career is probably in question, to be honest. I mean,
yeah, it's true.
You know, he didn't have a great year. He's going to be one of those guys who's kind of looking for a job, I think. Oh, dude, and we're at that point where we're just sort of, you know.
We're out of answers.
I think that to summarize our argument, dude.
Yes.
This we're getting, hour
yes.
podcast.
Mm.
The coach is not going to change.
Right.
By all accounts, the owner is not going to fire Doug Wilson. So they have to make a significant roster change, and anything other than trading one of those two guys is not significant enough. Do you agree?
I completely agree with you. It's such a frustrating situation to be in, but I don't see any other way around it. I mean, you have to change the makeup of the leadership core of the team, and the leadership core of the team right now is Marlowe, Thornton, Pavelski, and Couture, and you don't change Pavelski and Couture now. And Vlasic, which we want to
keep. Vlasic bears no blame.
We want to keep him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was hurt anyway, so it doesn't matter. But, I mean, in terms of those guys, I mean, Marlowe and Thornton are the guys that you always point at. You know? It's impossible to ignore.
Right, but
point.
They say there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's put out the fire now.
Yeah.
It's time. It's time. Untie your hands and do it. You've got to do the deed. You've got to make a tough call. You've got to let the guillotine fly. Someone's head has to be chopped that matters, or nothing's going to be different. And I will be far less emotional about it next year.
And like 4 months from now, when nothing changes, we're going to be sitting here. We're like, could be different, dude. Could be different.
No. No.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think we're going to be able to put a happy face on this?
No.
Yeah.
How could you put a happy face on no change? Even moving out Burns and moving in Callahan, that's not enough.
You know, I might be able to convince myself that it could be enough if that happened.
No.
I might be able to.
I think you might think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
But it's not enough. How can a guy like Callahan come into this room and change the locker room? He's not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to change what's already present.
Well, we want to end on an up note at all, dude. Are we just going to...
Yeah, I've got an up note for you.
Okay, go.
Blackhawks in the Western Conference Finals, dude. Yeah!
I walked into that one.
Biggest bet.
Show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.